now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hop Along John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors fishing and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hop Along, John Cassidy.
Thank you, Mark Larson, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hop Along John Cassidy. Well, as of 9 o'clock this morning, we were planning to do a live show, but then we got the notice that because of a virus-related incident at our AM 540 studios, the entire studio personnel has been put in quarantine, so that does not allow us to do a live show. But we've put together a recorded show with some new and old material that I think you're going to enjoy and that will be worth your listening audience's attention. Before we get into that, though, let me give you a couple of reports at what's happening right now. On the freshwater side, yes, the lakes are starting to open up. Castaic, Skinner, Diamond Valley, Poway, Elsinore, yeah, they've all opened up for business. Now, if you're going to Diamond Valley, I understand they have limited it to the first 150 boats there, so you want to make sure you get there early. As for the San Diego City lakes, even though the city is allowing boating, the San Diego City lakes, there is no word from those people when the lakes are going to open. So we'll try to keep on contact with that. The Shelter Island launch ramp, though, did open up this Friday, and it's a good thing. Now, there haven't been huge crowds there, but there are some restrictions. First of all, they are limiting the number of people that can park in the parking lot. They are spacing out the tow vehicles and the vehicles themselves in every other space. When you launch, everyone should have a mask and observe social distancing. When you actually get to the launch ramp itself, there's no grouping up or anything like that. Launch your vehicles. Right now, they are allowing 4 to 5 boats to launch on the launch ramp at one time, and that also means to pick up at the same time. Now, there was a thing that they put out saying, hey, family members only can go out on the boats, but that order is not being enforced. But please stay safe. Social distancing, masks, and all the other things that you need to prevent yourself from getting the virus, please do, so that this privilege is not taken away from us. Hey, when you finally get out there, though, there isn't too bad fishing. In the regular inshore area, we do have the red tide. Fishing in the bay is slow, and in the local kelp is slow. But one of the things the guys have been catching fish on is the jigpara and the red and gold. Also, tuna crab colors and colors that look like things kind of reddish have been working really pretty well. A lot better than you'd think. But if you do get a chance to get offshore, man, the bluefin tuna seem to be biting really well. If you can find out where they're breaking, where they're coming on up, throw irons on them, Colt snipers, poppers, they seem to be eating pretty well. Last week, we had Billy Kelman on with us, and if you recall, Billy had not had a chance to go on out. Well, he did go out on Wednesday, and he limited out pretty quickly, throwing irons. Also, I heard one fisherman that went out on Saturday was able to pick up some nice bluefin tuna, and he was put in a predicament because the tuna were so large that he couldn't gaff them and get them into the boat at the same time, so he lost a couple of fish right out of the boat. But what we're seeing, the private boaters that can get on out there are experiencing an excellent bite right now with the bluefin tuna. So Dana Landing is open. All the landings around Shelter Island are open. Also, Mission Bay is open, and then Dana Point is open. So if you can get out there, please do so, but remember all the social distancing requirements, wearing your masks and everything like that. Please do that, and there shouldn't be any problems. Hey, before we get on to our show tonight, though, let me also tell you about one thing that we tried to mention last week, but kind of got cut off because we ran out of time. And I wanted to remember a good friend of the radio show and a good friend to all fishermen, Mr. Al Kalin. Al Kalin passed away about 2 weeks ago of liver cancer, and it was a big loss. Not only was Al a lure manufacturer, but he was a writer, and he was a big friend to everyone that fished in the Imperial Valley, especially in the Salton Sea. So, Al, thank you for all that you gave us with regards to the fishing lures and your writings and all that stuff. If you get the opportunity, pick up his book, A Fish Tales by Al Kalin, and I think you'll enjoy that very much. Okay. Hey, that's it for the announcements tonight. Our guest tonight, hey, we're going to play a show that we aired 2 weeks ago with Aaron Martins when he was telling us how he was recovering from his surgery, and we had a few surprises that were in store for him from that show. And then also, second part of the show, we're going to have rod maker and component maker Bill Batson with us. It was an interview that we did at the Fred Hall Show in Long Beach, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the next hour and a half of Rod and Reel Radio. Thanks for listening, and we will keep you informed of further shows coming up in the next following weeks. So, guys, let's take it away. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you towards the end of the show. All right. Hey, guys, let's get right to our first guest because he's on the line waiting for us. This fella, hey, this is his credentials. He's only 48 years old, but he has 3 Bassmaster Elite Angler of the Year awards. He has first place in 11 major pro angling tournaments, and he has 82 top 10 finishes throughout his career. He's also the winner of the 2019 Bass Pro Tour Stage 6 event on Table Rock. Mr. Aaron Martins is with us. Aaron, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, guys. Good to hear from you. Everybody
great
there?
Great to hear from you, buddy.
Stan. Man, hi, Stan. Good.
It's great hearing from you, Aaron.
Hi.
And Wendy, hi, you're there, too?
I'm here, too. Hi, Aaron. I'm glad you're doing better.
Yeah.
Aaron.
We're okay. We can talk. We're fine. I'm going fishing tomorrow. I think my wife Lester's going to take me.
All right. Well, let's talk about it.
It rained all day today. It rains a lot out here. When it does rain, it rains like 8 to 10 inches in a day.
Wow.
So we get like floodgates open, and it's like crazy amount of water we're getting. It does when we do get it, but it's almost weekly. Weekly, you get a ton of rain. It rains for like 2 days, but it rains a lot, like many inches.
Well, Aaron, when I talked to you last week, you said, John, I have one heck of a story to tell you, and I know it's been a dynamic 2 weeks for you. Do you want to relate to us a little bit what has happened to you in the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, I didn't really let it out there that much just because we weren't sure exactly like what it was and how extensive it was, but and I trying to get a second opinion, but it was a brain tumor. They hit me with fishing with my friends last week on the water. It's been 2 weeks now. I guess it's been 2 weeks. Time flies when you're having fun. But I had some seizures, and I've been having these seizures. They're more like episodes to me, but I thought they were like, they were so mild and non-existent, I thought I was almost getting like allergies. And I had them last year, too, at this time. And it was weird because it's only, I only really got them during the spring. So last year I had some weird episodes, but then once it got warm and the pollen went away, I never really had any more of them, never had any of these weird feelings. But this year we got the warm, you know, the warm air and the grass pollen and all the heavy pollens out here. It's almost like it would kind of trigger what are now known to be seizures, which I thought they were kind of just, I call them episodes, but they didn't hurt or nothing. They didn't leave me like unable to drive. They didn't, you know, cause me a crash. They didn't, I mean, I never was out of it. It was more like a good feeling I'd feel. But for a while, and last year, and then they went away, I felt like it must be allergies. But then this year when they came back, it was just too weird. And I actually have a friend I fish with a lot, Rob, and I remember telling him, I think I have a brain tumor. I think there's something in my brain that's something's triggering it. Because you watch movies and stuff, and I watch a lot of science shows, and it just seemed like something in that direction just because it was so weird. But anyways, with my friends, we launched the boat, and I had fished 2 days in a row and only got like 8 hours of sleep in 2 days, and that obviously a lack of sleep really did something, and basically went into like, I guess, a pretty major seizure. And I just lay down for a while, but I was kind of incoherent a little bit, and pretty much scared my friends really bad, and they pretty much wanted to take me back right away, and I told them it'd be all right. We'll see what happens. I'm tired. Let me lay down for a while. But I guess the way I looked and the way I was acting wasn't okay with them, and they I put the bill on the trailer and rushed me back home, running stop signs. It's about a 25-mile ride back, but only about a 45-minute drive. They probably did it in 30 minutes. Drove to my neighborhood at 70. I guess I scared them pretty bad, and they had called an ambulance. At this point, I don't remember the drive home, and I don't remember the ambulance picking me up. So the ambulance was there. I still don't remember anything to do with the ambulance being at my house. And then I don't remember the drive to the hospital, and I wasn't scared because I wasn't really there. So the weirdest thing was, you know, being in a hospital and being in this COVID virus era right now we're in, family can't be with you. So pretty much once I was at the hospital and wheeled in there, I never saw my family again until probably 4 or 5 days later after they did open brain surgery on me. It actually opened my skull up after the CAT scans and the MRI. They cut a bunch of MRIs on me and found out there was a couple masses in my brain. But even with all that coming, you couldn't see your family, knowing that you're going to go in the knife and pretty major, major surgery. So they ended up removing, I guess, the primary mass, which was one of the tumors. The other one, they decided not to just because it was so deep in the brain. It was, the doctors said it was too risky to go in. They didn't know what it was yet, but it was at the base of the brainstem. The first one was a lot easier, being in the temporal lobe. They could reach it pretty easily. So they doing all this, and and again, not seeing a family, not having, family support. I could call them and talk to them on the phone, but that part was kind of weird, not being able to see anybody. But the nurses here at Grandview Hospital, they're incredible. They all actually prayed over me separately. Asked if they could pray over me. I was like, for sure. I appreciate that. Something in Alabama, you know, it's special here. You know, a lot of times that's what they, you know, people will actually put their hands on you and pray over you. And that did offer some support, not having a family. And, you know, pretty quick I met the surgeon that was going to do the surgery, and I liked him a lot. He was a younger guy, but seemed very capable of doing just about anything just by talking to him. But, again, you know, basically went from feeling great, fishing 4 days a week, catching them really good, to being diagnosed with, you know, multiple tumors in the brain and being cancer, to going through all this in just a matter of, you know, a day or two. So talking about a life-changing experience, it was, to say the least, a little scary in the hospital. The episodes went from being feeling kind of good to being nightmarish. I don't want to bring anybody down, but just don't know if it's the fact that they operate on me and it changed the way they made me feel. But, you know, before they actually felt good to me, they were kind of, that's what scared me. It wasn't normal to feel that way. I mean, I don't do drugs. I don't, man, more eat organic. I walk barefoot. I wear natural materials. I mean, I do everything about as clean as a person can live. So to feel that way, it was very unnatural to me. But that was kind of a story, a short story of it. And, of course, there's a lot to go through still.
Well, did you find, Aaron, that after you had the surgery, that the seizures that you were having, did they ease up a little bit, or were you still having them? And is that something that the doctors had indicated you would be experiencing?
The primary one, like I said, they still didn't know what kind of cancer it was, but when they removed that one, the seizures got really bad. They were way more frequent, almost constant, like all night long. And again, I think if, you know, family was able to visit, I think probably my wife wouldn't have left my side just because they were so intense. But again, the nurses were really nice. A lot of the nurses did spend time with me, but the episodes, I call them, they went from almost dreamlike to something in a nightmare movie scenario. It turned very scary, and you know, and I prayed about it, and but still they turned very scary, and it's hard to explain what they felt like. They were, you know, full body, and just, I mean, it's your brain pretty much is, you know, probably the most important thing in your body, and it just, it does a lot of things, and it was doing a lot of things at that time.
Aaron, while you were in the hospital, were you made aware of by Leslie, your wife, or Carol, of the tremendous groundswell of support and prayers that you were getting from the community?
Because I figured, you know, I knew a lot of people probably had heard something that happened, and I did a few videos in the hospital. I really don't know why I did, but I felt like it was so extreme what happened that I might as well do this a short video. And I wasn't looking for prayers or thoughts at that time. I just kind of was, maybe the people that kind of heard, but I'm sure I knew at one point, I knew a lot of it got out pretty quick. So I know how fishing industry is. And at that point, I kind of wanted to let people know that I'm here and I'm doing all right. But I was absolutely amazed by the amount of, I guess, outpouring of love and prayers. Was like just, I mean, way more so than if I had won the classic or mm-hmm. the site, like two classics in a row. It was indescribable how many people, and my wife got messages, but my phone just alone was just incredible amount of messages. It was almost constant, nonstop, the whole time I was in there.
Aaron,
and mostly, you know, people praying for me, and people, and that was before people that really knew that was cancer. You know, really what it was, they were just hoping I was going to be all right. But that I have to tell you, it helped tremendously. I mean, being in that hospital, you know, I think I was there like 4 or 5 days was traumatic in itself, even though the nurses were nice. It was still probably one of the scariest moments I've ever been through, just just because the seizures I was having at that time were, like I said, they went from almost euphoric to most of them all turned into nightmares. Like, they were extremely scary.
Aaron,
and I'm still having seizures pretty much constantly now. I may have had a couple since I've been talking to you guys, but they have changed a lot. The ones I'm having now, they go from being scared to being angry to, and it's not a control bar. I've already given this to God, and I want to be a good example as a Christian, and I want to take this, you know, like a man. I want to be a good example to my kids, to other people, and I want this to be a positive, whatever does happen. But the seizures are not like I know I'm not driving, but I know they're not the kind of seizures that would, you know, put you down and you couldn't drive. It's just, there's kind of overwhelming feelings, like, of right now the ones I'm getting are more full body.
All right, Aaron, we've got to take a break right now. Can I ask you to stay on with us just a little bit longer?
For sure.
Good.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan, Wendy, and I, we're going to take a break right now, but we'll be back after these messages.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft-plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success at the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish the tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
We all like to travel, whether it's for business or it's pleasure, but one thing we all like to do, it's save money. Well, we got a travel tip for you. Bill Boyce has put together a travel website for you that can save you a lot of money. You can become your own travel agent. The site is bookwithboyce.com. You're going to save yourself 5 to 35% on all nationally advertised travel rates. You want to go to Mexico? You want to go to Hawaii? Bookwithboyce.com can offer you outstanding prices. And here's the deal. There's no surprises for accommodations, rental cars, or activities. So try bookwithboyce.com now and thank Bill Boyce later on.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the fishing boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. Did you know that when you donate blood, you're not only helping others, you're also helping yourself? Donating blood lowers the risk of heart attacks in men by more than 70%, lowers the risk of developing cancer, and helps you maintain a healthy liver. So donate blood to help someone else and to help yourself. If you can't donate, you can still make a difference with the financial gift. It's the best way to give back. Hook, line, and sinker. And for more information and to make a financial donation or an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org. That's the sandiegobloodbank.org. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
I always wear a life jacket when I'm on the water because I'm lazy. I like floating like a giant turtle covered with SPF 50. The life jacket does the work. I highly recommend this to everyone. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
This portion of Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by the Rockley's Fish Release System. Now you can quickly and easily release fish suffering from barotrauma back to the depths they were caught. Look or ask for the Rockley's at your local fishing tackle dealer.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Our special guest this hour is pro bass angler Aaron Martins. And Aaron, if you're with us during the break, we have a surprise guest that has called in and wants to say hello to you. You have time for an extra guest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, surprise guest, you want to introduce yourself and say hello to Aaron?
Hello, Aaron. It's Boyd Duckett. How you doing, man?
Hey, Boyd. How you doing? I've been to Boyd a few times over. I think we wrote yesterday, and I think we wrote today, too.
He's been
there for me.
Yeah, yeah, man. I just wanted to say hi, and I want to tell you, man. Everybody at the Major League Fishing family, you know, we can't all get to you, and everybody's been trying to respect your time and your family's time. But I can tell you, on behalf of everybody at Major League Fishing, man, my phone is rung off the hook. I've talked to half the anglers, all of the staff, and everybody wants to wish you well. And you know, we're all here for you. I don't know what we can do, but we're all praying for you. We're there for you, and when you get better, we'll be by your side, buddy. That's the message.
Appreciate it. Definitely prayers and thoughts are helping me the most right now, for sure.
That's right.
Boyd, what did Aaron add to Major League Fishing? Because I know you got a lot of stars there, but there's some guys that, man, you just follow, and you know they're always competitive no matter what the lake is, no matter what the situation is.
Well, that's the truth. And I mean, you know, and I think that goes without saying, long before Major League Fishing, Aaron had left such an impact on the sport. But definitely at Major League Fishing, he is so scary from that perspective. You know, it's weird, too, because I want to say this, and I don't think anybody would argue with me. There's not anybody on tour back when we were in the Elite Series at Major League Fishing. There's nobody on tour more like than Aaron Martins. Aaron doesn't have an enemy. He just doesn't have one. And that's so odd for a competitor that's as furious as Aaron. So, of course, with Major League Fishing and us having to catch him and find him as fast as we can, especially in the cup events, you know, there's not an angler that understands fish. You know, he's wired like a fish, man. You know, and he can find them when nobody else is catching them, and that's what makes him so dominant and so feared. You know, he can be in seventh or eighth place, man, and if Aaron catches two in a row, I don't care who's up there on top. You're worried about, you know, you're worried that Aaron's figured it out, man, because he always figures it out. He's a spooky competitor from that perspective.
I got to add something here. I'm laughing a little bit because this is Stan Boyd, Stan Vandenberg, part of the crew here with Rod and Reel Radio. But I've known Aaron since the beginning and helped he and his mom get the first sponsors, whatever else. We've been friends a long, long time before he ever met his wife, Leslie. But I was talking with John Murray the other day, a while back, and Johnny Murray goes, Aaron Martins is the only guy I know that knows that fish is going to bite 15 minutes before the fish does.
Boy, isn't that the truth, man.
Aaron's always been the competitor if you have to fish against him, and I know.
Yeah, if you have to fish against him. I'll tell you something. Through the years, Aaron has taught the whole field a bunch, more than the obvious. I mean, obviously, offshore fishing, the use of a drop shot, clear line, understanding what fish do in clearwater lakes. You know, there was a time on tour, I started fishing in 1977, and a long time we didn't know how to fish offshore effectively, and we were all scared of clear water. And, you know, Aaron pops on the scene and dominates offshore, and especially in clear water. Not that he can't catch them other ways, but But that was one of the things I remember was just how much he taught all of us, all the pros, about how many fish live offshore. And then just the tenacity, man, the drive to do things. I got to tell you a story that created a rule back when we fished the Bassmaster Elite Series, if you haven't heard this. So we're up at Lake Erie, and it's hard, you know, how rough Lake Erie can be. And we're looking for, you know, for offshore smallmouth in the summertime, and it calms off at night. So Aaron decides that he's just going to keep looking after the lake calms off because you can cover so much water. So he stays out there and side images rocks, like, all night. I really don't know how long he stayed. Aaron can tell you, but I think he just stayed out there all night. And it's just things like that, man, like that Gary, nobody in the world Gary. Would ever think of. And we ended up, they ended up having to make a rule that you had to come off the water because Aaron would just fish like 42 straight hours, great. You know. And
great time to find him at night. She's so good.
Yeah. How long did you fish that night, Aaron?
I fished to like 11 midnight a lot and then drive back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there was a few other guys. Ike and Elliot was famous for it. Mike would stay out. Like, there would be a few guys. If I did see somebody, most likely it was Mike Iaconelli. And, you know, the images you get at that time of night, I don't know whether I think a lot of it is sun penetration in the water. The algae does something that actually expands or grows. And then you get that nighttime and it actually things kind of retract. And you get just a better image. Like, you can see stuff so much clearer at night.
Well, guys, you see, that's something we never think about. I never thought that imaging would be better at night than it would be during the day. And, you know, here we have Aaron. He's given away one of his big secrets. Thank you, Aaron.
Uh-huh. It don't matter. You can't do it anymore, so it doesn't matter.
You can't do it anymore. It's the Aaron Martin's rule. I tell you something else I watched Aaron do one time. So we're fishing in a tournament a long time ago, and we're at Lake Martin. And it was when down imaging was pretty new, and we were all trying to learn, and there wasn't good side imaging yet. And I remember watching you, Aaron. You were graphing on plane at Lake Martin, and Aaron had figured out how to turn his speed wide open. Well, he turned his puck ping speed to the top, I guess, and then turned his actual scroll speed wide open where he could go. He was barely on plane, but he just run on plane and he'd run all over a shoal and graph the shoal and go to the next one and go to the next one. And I was like, what in the world is this fool doing?
That's a secret that's probably out now, graphing side imaging on plane. You go to 30 miles an hour and do it.
Yeah.
The images are the same as they were if you're going 6-7 miles an hour. You just had to speed everything up. I had pictures of my images that where it said that you see like 26 miles per hour, and I was getting beautiful images, even where you could see fish. But I started doing that when they first came out with it, and I actually built a bracket for my trail motor. That was one of the first things I did, was actually build a bracket for my trail motor so I could put the side scale on the front motor way before that came out. That to me was awesome. But I don't know if a lot of people still do that to this day. I still, once in a while, put a second bracket on and actually graph on pad. It's very doable. It's amazing how well it works. I'm surprised somebody hasn't built a bracket actually that works that way. But it is. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Boy, just quickly, before we let you go, Major League Fishing, you're one of the main principals of that. Are you targeting any dates to restart again, or is everything on hold until you get a hold of municipalities where the tournaments are going to be held?
Yeah, I mean, we work on it every day. And, of course, we're at Major League Fishing, you know, we're a made-for-television product, as everybody's well aware of. And we have some television deadlines that's going to make it a little harder for us. We start airing third quarter, so that's July 3rd. But we're just going to do the best we can. It's all we can do at this point and wait and see. The schedule that we have planned is not likely to be those lakes. And so you'll see us be flexible. and we'll go to whatever communities are prepared for us as soon as they allow us, and then we'll shoot as much of it as we can. We're ready to go if the nation gets ready for us.
Boyd, if we can we get you on at another time so we can talk a little bit more about Major League Fishing and the schedule? Because Rod and Reel Radio is a big fan of Major League Fishing and all the guys that are fishing it. And I don't want to take up Aaron's time here to talk about that, but we'd sure like to hear more about it when the time's appropriate.
Absolutely. Be happy to come back whenever. And before I get out of here, I just want to tell Aaron how much we all love him, and he's not that far from me, an hour and 15 minutes. And, as soon as he gets in a position, I'm looking forward to seeing him again. And more importantly, I'm looking for him to come in and whipping our ass again. He sent me a text that he was looking forward to getting back out, and there's no doubt in my heart, as strong a person and as strong a personality as Aaron is, he'll be out ready to beat us. We might all regret it, but we're looking forward to you coming, Larry. Buddy. I want you to know that.
I love you, too. And I hope I can come out and join you guys again.
I hope so. Boyd, I can't hear anyone that's happier than Boyd when you come and you take his money, and here he is. He wants to see you come back and get more of it. That's great.
We have a good relationship. We've always been pretty close, and I respect Boyd a lot.
All right. Boyd, hey, thank you for taking some of your Sunday to be with us, and we appreciate you giving us a call, okay?
Absolutely, guys. We'll talk soon, Aaron.
Thanks, Boyd.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Boyd.
Bye.
Man, it's Boyd Duckett. Boyd is not only one of the pro anglers that fishes Major League Fishing, he's also one of the principals of Major League Fishing. So great for him to give us a call and say hello to you, Aaron. And Aaron, you know, you were expecting to be fishing at this time, and what were you doing during this off time that we all had in preparing to fish?
I was fishing like I used to when I was when I was about 18, 19 years old. I was probably fishing four days a week, and the fishing was phenomenal out here, and we didn't have much restrictions, so I was going to Lay Lake and Logan Martin, Alabama River, and just having a heyday, catching a lot of 3 to 4.5 pound spotted bass and decent largemouth fishing. It's just really good time of year to be fishing. I mean, and realistically, all this stuff, I hate to say it, but it couldn't really happen at a better time, this terrible virus, but it's given me a chance to maybe come back before we start the season again.
I got to tell you, Aaron, it's had huge effect. The illness in your situation on the fishing population on the whole. But I mean, all of your friends out here. It's pretty amazing when Greg Stump texts me and says, "Hey, did you hear Aaron had a problem? Pray."
Yeah.
from Greg, that, you know what I mean. The fact that, you know, I know it's been a problem, but it's had such an effect on people that have all been praying for you and want the best for you. It's amazing from my side, seeing the response. Not that our fishing community is pretty special anyhow.
It is.
But
it is.
But,
it's been a life-changing experience for me and the people. Some of the people I said they're praying for me, I was surprised, and it's just been an incredible outpouring of love and the prayers from people. It's just the only way I can describe it. It's been, just to say the least, like humbling. It's like a humbling experience.
Aaron, fishermen are used to calling upon divine intervention to help them out, especially it seems like during tournaments. So with all that practice that they have, think of the thousands of fishermen that are out there asking for divine intervention to help you out. It's got to be awesome.
It is awesome. It's been the light at the end of the tunnel for me, for sure.
Aaron, we got to take one more break. Can I ask you to stay on a little bit longer, and we'll come on back to you and kind of wind this up?
Yep.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan, Wendy, and I, we're going to take a break right now. We're with pro angler Aaron Martin. So stay tuned. There's still a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands. And if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
We want to tell our listeners a little about Bajo La Luna restaurant, located within a lush hidden garden in the heart of Cabo San Lucas. This family-run restaurant offers patrons a selection of unbelievable tapas, the most delicious Mexican entrees, an outstanding selection of wines and crafted cocktails, and the most amazing desserts, all served in an upscale, casual, outdoors atmosphere at prices you'll find very affordable. When you visit Bajo La Luna, mention Rod and Reel Radio, and there might just be a complimentary beverage served with your dining experience. Bajo La Luna is located right across the street from Cabo Wabo and offers free or valet parking. Get all the information you'll need to visit Bajo La Luna Restaurant on Facebook. Just click their direct link icon found on rodandreelradio.com.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a long-time-owned family business. Go to LensEndCharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience.
Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419. Or their website of CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option. No questions asked if you're not pleased with any of their product. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Our special guest this hour is Aaron Martins, and we've been talking live with Aaron, going over some of the situation he's been involved with in the past 2 weeks. Aaron, man, normally you're doing the talking during these interviews, but we're going to have to interrupt here. I've got another special guest caller that wants to say hello to you. Do you have a minute to say hello?
Yeah.
All right. Guest caller, do you want to identify yourself and say hello to Aaron?
Hello, Aaron. It's John Morrow calling.
Hi, John. How's it going, John? I know John Morrow very
there,
well,
man.
If you guys don't know him.
I'm hanging in there. I'm just, you know, been thinking about you a lot, and my prayers are with you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, John, you and Aaron go back a long time. You want to just relay to, you know, that story for us?
Oh, okay. Here's the deal. You know, Aaron, he's the best sight fisherman I've ever seen in my life. This guy, I'm talking whether it's bed fishing or just fish that are cruising down the bank. And, he, you know, the guy is just amazing. He surprised a lot of people. And I fished against Aaron for years when he was fishing the Juan Bass Tour back in California and Arizona and Nevada and stuff. And the story that I want to talk about, and Aaron, you may remember this. It was at Lake Havasu. You were on bedfish. You end up winning this tournament, the Juan Bass Pro-Am. And I'm driving down the lake, and I look into a cove where I'd had bedfish located, you know, during practice, and I'm getting ready to pull in there, and Aaron's boat is parked up, kind of beached up on the bank, and there's no one in Aaron's boat. And I know there was a bedfish back in this corner, back against these tulies, and I start idling in there, and it's like wondering what happened with Aaron, like what's going on, did his boat break down or whatever, and all of a sudden Aaron pops up from laying down in the boat, which I could not see him or his partner in this tournament. It was a pro-am deal. And do you remember that, Aaron?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember
that's
that?
That's what you had to do.
you did whatever you had to do. You said if that fish made eye contact with you, you wouldn't be able to catch it. But if you couldn't make eye contact with it, you could catch it. And you caught every single bedfish that you went after in that tournament and won. And you
they're hard to catch. They're always hard to catch in those tournaments.
Good you were at that bed fishing deal. So that was one of the incredible deals, or one of the stories about Aaron, which I'll never forget.
I stopped doing it as much, John. I feel bad now. I fish all these, like a lot of MLFs last couple of years. We've been fishing a lot of spawn tournaments. So I try not. I'm terrible. Even though I know I'm catching spawners, I'm usually trying not to see him, which is bad because I know I used to be able to catch him really, really good, but I almost prefer not pulling him off the bed, like visibly. But I hadn't done that a lot in the past, and I need to start doing it again. I know. That time of year when you're catching them, if you're not seeing them or seeing them, they're usually spawning.
Yeah, you were the best at it that anybody I've ever seen, you know, and, you know, a lot of good memories back, you know, to when I met you and your mother over at Casitas. And I don't even know if you had a driver's license back then, Aaron. I think your mom was driving, towing the boat out to the lake, and you guys just won everything.
That's funny.
You know, Aaron, you fished Lake Havasu really well. I remember the year that you won the Bassmaster Elite event there, and you talk about thinking outside of the box. You came up on this whole bite that was centered around blackbirds sitting on tulies. You remember that particular event?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, they're like in and to figure it out pretty quick that the birds were in full full nesting mode, and that's kind of like a when they do that, like with the mud ducks, the coots and the blackbirds, they usually go at the same time. When you see those suckers like catching and you see the babies, it's like a for sure go. Like, you gotta be careful of that one. They love those little birds, those baby birds. You can't imagine how juicy those are. They had to eat like two or three bluegill or five or six shad to get anything close to a little baby bird. Can't imagine how much they crave them. So yeah, definitely a good pattern. And it works all over the place. It happens everywhere. Just have it too in Lake Mead and some of the San Diego lakes and Casitas. It was more pronounced because I guess a lot of the fish, there's a lot more 4 and 5, 6 pounders.
So I think they did really well at Clear Lake
even eating the larger birds too, not just the babies.
Yeah, Aaron, Wendy had a comment. Wendy?
I think Aaron won a tournament or it was in the news about him fishing Clear Lake like that, and he found a tree that had some baby birds in it.
Yeah, definitely Clear Lake. Yeah, it's happened. Like Delta and stuff. Delta, wherever you find them nesting like that, yeah. It's not, you know, it's not all the time, but there is like probably a month or maybe even 2 months where you won't catch all your fish doing it, but you got to pay attention to it, to where you get around the right areas. You try to take advantage of it.
We also have John Morrow on the line with us. John, you were fishing the West, and when you had to go fish Lake Mead, you knew that in a lot of these tournaments, the guy to beat there was the guy that we have on the telephone, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Aaron, are you kidding me? It's like if I went to a tournament, it didn't matter where it was, and if Aaron beat me, I never felt bad, which Aaron beat me a lot. And it was like,
that's terrible.
He just was, everybody out here out west was just blown away by this young guy who comes out and just starts tearing up the circuits out here on the West Coast. And it's not like he's doing anything a lot different than anybody else, but he's just so thorough. And you go to Lake Mead, he'd pre-fish. He and I used to pre-fish together in, you know, in separate boats. And he'd be done pre-fishing, say for a U.S. Open or a One Bass Pro-Am, in a day and a half of practice. And it takes most of the guys the full 3 days to get on patterns and dial in the fish. But Aaron, he wanted to go boat racing, you know, go race all the other boats going down the lake.
Or, I would never get my 3 days in, though. I always stayed out till the last minute, always.
Oh, of course you did.
You never came in early.
But no, you figured it out so fast. That's the thing. You could figure out the pattern, what the fish were doing, how deep they were, which color bait you were going to use, whether you're going to go a worm, jig, or whatever. And you just figured out so much faster than everybody else. And it baffled everybody, including me. And you're the one who taught me how to fish. You taught me how to Texas rig and shape
worm. You caught him some ways that I never thought of, like the chartreuse blades. And like, you taught me stuff that some of the stuff you caught him on in the past at some of those river lakes where I was like, you showed me what you're catching. I was like, really?
Well, you know what? I'm happy, dude, that I was able to teach you something. You taught me so much.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Love you, brother.
All right, Aaron. You and Wendy and Stan and John, you guys take care. And thank you for letting me come on the radio. It's great.
No, thank you for calling, John Morrow. We appreciate it. And on behalf of all of us, You have raised the sentiments that I think the thousands of us Aaron Martin supporters out here, wish we could tell them. So thanks for being with us, sir.
Not a problem. Yeah. Thank you for having me, guys. And Aaron, take care.
Thanks, John.
You too, John.
Be well, John.
Bye-bye,
Aaron,
guys.
In the amount of time we have left, tell us now. I know you're going to try and get as much fishing in as you can, and you got great friends that are supporting you there. But what do you see happening down the road here in the not too distant future?
Well, my wife didn't really want me to tell you what kind of cancer it was, but there's going to be a lot of people that probably want to know. It is a form of cancer, which is really, really bad, I guess. It's a JBM, multiple JBM. But so it's okay. That's me. And so after I do all that and let it heal for I don't know how long, and then they actually go in and do the radiation after with the chemo pills. And chemo is actually a pill, which I really didn't know it was a pill until last week. So there's a lot I didn't know about cancer. And so there's a lot to do still, a lot to fight. And I know it's going to be a big fight. And, you know, I was, like I said, I was running like 30 miles a week and doing 1,000 push-ups last week, every week. So, and I eat super healthy, and I've already changed my diet to a JBM diet, which is certain things that JBM cancers don't like oils and like a fish diet, Mediterranean diet, I guess is best. So I'm going to do all I can do to kind of fight this thing. And, you know, I'm eating like 2 avocados a day, which I eat avocado anyway. So I'm trying to starve as much as I can and do a lot of prayers. And I'm taking in all the prayers that are coming my way. And I feel like I have, you know, and I think the doctors even feel that in my health condition I'm in, I'm still pretty young and extremely healthy, that I, you know, I do have a chance to fight this thing. And believe me, I enjoy life, and I don't want to sound negative, but if it does take me and I don't survive it, I don't want to go out, you know, and be a bad example. You know, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at God. I think there's, you know, there's a reason for everything, and whatever does happen, I'm good with it. Of course, I love life and would love to live, but if it doesn't allow me to live, I'm fine with that too.
Hey, Aaron, I have a lot of family that has cancer who have gone through stage 4 and cancer and survived. I have an auntie who's had cancer 5 times and survived. And it's, you know, a lot has to do with your mental, how you're thinking and how positive you are. So please stay positive and stay strong, and we're all rooting for you.
You bet.
I know. Thank you. Yeah, I'm staying positive, and like I said, I'm going to fight with all I got, but, you know, whatever does happen, I'm not mad at nobody, and definitely not mad at God. I don't feel like it's nothing like that. It's just unfortunate, and I'm going to fight with everything I got. And my wife's been awesome. My family's been awesome. And I definitely want to live. It's not like I'm giving up. I'm going to fight with teeth and nails, believe me. But so it's serious. You know, I give it all to God, but still, it's a scary. It's definitely a little scary knowing what they're going to do.
Well, Aaron,
and I never liked blood and veins and guts anyway. So that part is kind of freaky.
I got to tell you, buddy, you've been lifted up by countless number of people. I mean, our prayer group with my church has got you on the list. And we'll continue that. We'll put that on the list for Wednesday for sure. But we all want to see.
I think it might be in the hundreds of thousands, if I'm not mistaken.
There are, buddy. There are. God's used this, no matter what, to affect a lot of different people for a positive. So you can take that when you hang up. But there's a lot of people pulling for you, and they will continue to pull for you, dude. Me included. I mean, we've known each other since the beginning. So, you know, we're really, I'm hoping everything comes out well with the doctors, and that'll be in the prayers.
And Aaron, if we've got to put our money on anybody to get through this, my friend, it is going to be you, because with the love that you have out there, with the strength of your family, with your physical regimen and the way you've conducted yourself in life, the chances have to be in your favor to get over this, to get on the water again, and to get out there and start taking our money away from us the way you have, you know, for the past 30 years.
Yeah, I give it to God, and it's, you know, it's whatever happens. Like I said, I'm not mad at nothing, nobody, and there's a reason for everything, and, you know, and we're going to fight it. With everything I got, and I got a great family behind me, and like I said, the support's been just incredible. That's been some of the biggest help in my heart. It's been all the people that have sent their prayers and thoughts my way, and I can't tell you how much that means to me. It's been, even my family, they're feeling it. It's incredible.
Well, thank you very much, Aaron, for telling your story and letting us share part of the personal background that you're going through. Everyone you know is with you, and as Boyd said, there ain't a person out there that doesn't love you, and we hope we can check in from you from time to time. And there's people out there like David from Duo that I want to thank for keeping us updated on what's happening to you. Yeah. He also produced a great video, if you have not seen that. And Aaron, just know we're all rooting for you, and please let us stay in contact with you as you travel through this journey and get back to good health.
Hopefully, maybe I can be on the show the next time. I heal fast, so I'm optimistic, and I feel good about it.
We'll wait after the surgery, and we'll get back in touch, buddy.
We got to talk about the new lure designs that you've got coming on out, because of
we got a lot of that stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff from Dual Reales, Picasso, and Gamagatsu. We got some new hooks coming out, and hopefully I'll be able to tell you guys about all that. I mean, and by the time this is all kind of behind us, we'll have it should be ready by then. But we got some awesome hooks coming out, too.
There's also some awesome fishing experiences and new stories to be made for us to tell in the future. And we want to thank you so much for taking the time out of the day to relate your story to us. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, and thank you for keeping me in the prayers. Appreciate it.
All right.
Well, brother, that'll never quit.
All right.
I love you guys. Always will. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
That's
pro angler Aaron Martins with us, telling us the uphill journey he still is facing ahead of us. But I think if there's anyone that can do it with the love and the prayers and the strength being sent to him by all of our listeners and all the fishermen out there, if there's one person that's going to get through this, it's going to be Aaron Martins.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit turners.com to find a Turner store near you, and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success at the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish at tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT, for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for Bass Boat Insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the sports boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. The San Diego Blood Bank. Fishing for a way to make a difference in your community? Consider donating blood or making a financial donation to the San Diego Blood Bank. Your gift will impact medical research, revolutionize how we improve health and treat disease, and most importantly, give the gift of life. But we can't do it without you or without your help. Visit sandiegobloodbank.org to make an appointment or to give a financial donation today. It's the best way to give back. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
Hey, we're at the Fred Hall Show, and we ran into a guest that we've had on once before, but it's amazing to come up to his booth and see what's happening with his people, the input that they're giving him, the input that's going back to them, and that's Mr. Bill Batson from Batson Enterprises. And Bill, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio again.
Well, thank you very much, John. It's good to see you and, you know, finally meet you in person, which is always nice. You know,
well, I wish we had a chance to do it on the water. It's too bad we have to do it at a trade show. But, Bill, I am impressed not only with the booth that you put up, but I've been waiting to talk to you here now for probably an hour with just the way you make yourself accessible and the interaction with all the people that come on up and maybe are halfway familiar with the product, but they need to know more about the products that you have. So let's talk a little bit about those products, and let's talk about, first of all, the blanks that you come on up with.
Sure. Thanks, John. Yeah, so we come to the Fred Hall with a 60-foot booth with 8 different people in it to answer the questions and show our product line. We don't sell anything at this show. We're a wholesale supplier. We supply all the manufacturers, you know, the United Composites and the Seekers and the CalStars and the Fishing Syndicate. And we have a big distributor here, Salmon Island Fishing Tackle. So we come to support the industry, to show our product, to answer the questions. Sam asked me to bring down some special blanks in my product line, and we put a different coating on them, and that's what he wanted to see. But, you know, every time I come to this show, people have different input. I'm a sponge just like anybody else. Yes, I've been in this industry a long time, and I have quite a bit of knowledge, but you never stop learning. I come here to learn and to meet the people and to answer the questions. So it's just an honor and a privilege to be in this industry and be able to come to a show like this.
Oh, it's great to have the everyday, whether he's a hobbyist, that he's wrapping his own rods, or maybe he's just using your rods, and he admires the work that you've done through Alps or through Rain Shadow, to thank you for the product. Or maybe there's something that he thinks he needs a little tweaking, and to be able to come along to the guy that's the decision maker, that's a pretty big deal.
Yes, it is, and people appreciate that. You know, I am, the CEO of a multi-million-dollar company, but I'm very accessible. People can walk up to me and ask me any kind of question, anytime. You know, guy will walk up and he'll have a 8-foot blank in his hand, and he'll say, "Hey, Bill, can I chop 3 inches off the butt of this, or can I take 2 inches off the tip?" You know, and I'll give him my opinion. I'm not a big fan of cutting off the tip, but, you know, I don't mind taking a little bit off the butt, you know, and he'll say, "Okay, I just wanted to make sure it doesn't void my warranties or it changes the action of a rod." And it all depending on the blank itself, if you can do that. So to be accessible to those people is very important to me.
Well, the products that you come up through with Alps or for Rain Shadow, is that a lot of that customer-driven? How much of it is just new product that you see a demand in the market that you come up with? Where does the inspiration come up with a lot of this product?
Well, on the blank side, a blank is, there's only so many actions in a blank. So a lot of the blank ideas that we get are people coming to me and saying, Bill, I want you to slow this blank down or speed this blank up, or I want the diameters to be smaller, I want thicker walls, or whatever the case might be. So for blanks, it's not so technical as it is with the components. You know, when I come up with new components, I look for better materials. I look for corrosion resistance. I look for smoothness of cutting. I look for better anodizing. And those are the things that we're known for. We're going to have a product. Yes, there's similar products in the market, but our product is going to be superior because we've done the research to find out the materials to use and the designs that work best for everybody.
Well, you know, I can just see here how many people are happy about the work that you've done, because especially with a lot of the rod wrappers that you have here and the major companies, it's your product that actually makes them look good.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. And with as much product as you have out there, it's got to be a good feeling.
It is a great feeling to have companies like, well, United Composites or CalStar or Seeker. You know, they're cornerstones or they're icons in this industry that are coming to us and want to put their product, my products, on their products to complement it, to make it better. And, you know, that's the highest form of flattery that I could ever imagine, you know.
Well, not only that, how generous you are with you. You helped us with a program we did with a gal down in San Diego that had cancer. You donated the component parts. We had Jim Trelecki's from Windspinner. He did the wrapping for us. You donated the blank. And it was a tremendous fundraiser. And with people like you helping on out, and I see that happening here in the booth all the time. People just thanking you for the great product. And then you just had, tell us about the program that you just had. You had a couple of fellows walk out here with rods that in their wildest imagination, they never believed that they could have something that nice.
Yeah, it's a blessing and an honor to be in a position to give back. That's, you know, that's my main thing, is I want to give back to the people that have helped us and helped our company grow and are loyal to us and have integrity. That program that we do here at the Fred Hall Show is, we have 15 custom rods built by some of the best builders in the world. You know, you got your Jim Trelecki's, you got your Doc Ski, Bill Havens, Einer, Eddie, guys from the San Diego Rod Builders Club, Steve Tomiyama. I donate all the parts to them, and they're kind enough to build the rods. And during this event, we give away 15 custom rods, close to $10,000 worth of custom rods free. People come up and go, what do you mean free? I said, here's a ticket. You don't want my name? You don't want my phone number? You don't want my email? No, I don't want anything from you. This is a gift from my family back to the fishing community that supports us. And that's what I like to do.
Right. And not only the end user, but the guys that are working for you too. Jim Trelecki, he's one of the most generous guys that I know of. You got Dave Conway that's doing some wrapping for you, using your con. The guys that I know down in San Diego. There's a lot more, and we could keep on mentioning.
Yes.
But, you know, as I say, you make them look great with the products that you provide. Quality products. And in the event that something goes wrong, because there's always going to be something that gets tweaked out or whatever it is, you stand behind the product and you make sure that it's right.
Most definitely. You know, we pride ourselves in quality control and having quality products. You know, I sold 70,000 blanks last year and had less than 200 warranties. And not too many companies can say things like that. And the people that I surround myself with have the same kind of heart and the same kind of caring and the same kind of integrity and philosophy of life as I do. That's why it works so well.
Well, you know, this has been a family business. And let's just reach back a little bit and tell us about your dad and the family and those people that really got Batson Enterprises going.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing story. I mean, 40 years ago, we worked on a cattle ranch in Maui. You know, we lived paycheck to paycheck. We hunted, we fished, we farmed. We did all different types of things to make a living. And my dad one day decided he was going to build us some better fishing tools and started building fishing rods 41 years ago in the living room of our house. I was 12 years old at the time. And we've just kind of grown from there and been part of this industry. And like you said, it's a family-owned, 100% family-owned, U.S. family-owned and operated company that we're proud to be able to represent this industry.
Well, you've done it really well. And what What's amazing is the number of people that are out there using your product or component parts of products. It's got to be incredible, literally all over the world.
Oh, yes. We have 400 wholesale accounts worldwide, and almost anybody who builds a fishing rod or at any level is using something from Batson.
Tell us, what is, you know, in the limited amount of time that we have left here, what's one of the most memorable experiences or things that you've done with your product that you just sit there and you shake your head about, that you've heard about, and you go, man, I can't believe they did that. And I'm glad they did it with a Batson product.
Well, there's been so many different things, though. One of my favorites is working with the military and our armed forces and people with PTSD and the struggle with reality, to be able to offer products that they could sit down and help them relieve those types of illnesses that they have because of defending our country, and because we are the greatest country in the world. Those types of things really touch my heart when somebody comes back and said, hey, you saved me from committing suicide. That is huge. And by the rod that I donated to him to have him build.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Well, so just like the gentleman that just did the rod over here, I mean, he was almost stupefied and believing that he won something from you that was as nice as it was, because it was way beyond anything he'd ever get for himself. And what a great feeling that is.
That is awesome, you know, and the guy that won those rods, I mean, I know that they're going to appreciate it and they're going to cherish those things for the rest of their lives and pass it down to their children and their grandchildren. And those are family heirlooms and things that you can never replace. And those are things that money cannot buy. I don't care how much money you have. Those kind of memories are beyond words.
Let's look a little bit into the future with Batson Enterprises. And let's start off with Rain Shadow, the rods. Where is that rod market going? And what's in the future for it?
We'll continue to use different materials and look to different industries. We pick up a lot of materials from the aerospace industry and power to weight ratios and resin systems come from a lot of different industries. We'll continue to develop more product lines. It's getting harder and harder. More and more people are trying to get into the business, you know. A lot of people are trying to get into the business, I'll just say. And it makes it more and more difficult. But what happens is people try it, and it's not as easy as everybody thinks, you know. We've been doing this a long time, and we'll just continue to build our brand. And as you have longevity in any industry and anywhere, people will gravitate towards you more and more.
Just take us through briefly. A lot of people just don't realize what it takes to make a blank on a fishing rod. Because they go to the store, they pick it on up, and they look at it, and they go, $49. And they go, you know what it takes to make a blank. Just quickly, without giving away anything prior.
No problem.
Yeah. The process of just making one blank, and how many blanks do you have to make to get so many really good blanks?
Sure. All right. So there's a process in making a blank. It's not done by a machine. It's all done by hand.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, like a cigar in a way, a good cigar.
Correct. So you have a pre-preg, resin pre-preg, which you make the resin pre-preg over a material. Then you take that and you cut it into patterns. Then you take that and you wrap it around a mandrel. Then you take that and you put cellophane around it. And then you take that and you put it in the oven. Then you take it out of the oven. You take off the cellophane. You pull out the mandrel. Then you take it through a wet sander. And then you dip it to paint it. And all of this is done by hand. None of this is automated.
Yeah.
So it is a very time-consuming process, right?
So just imagine this. You've got a fishing rod, but the fishing rod is wrapped around a mandrel, or if you say like a mold. And then after that thing is wrapped under pressure and it's baked at whatever the temperature is, then that mandrel has to be pulled out for the rod.
Yep.
And you got to make sure that blank is straight, that it doesn't curl up at the end or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a laborious process.
Very much
one
so.
One that doesn't happen overnight, nor the technology to be able to do that.
Yes, it's amazing. I mean, we had the largest blank factory in the United States at one time, and to watch the whole process was just phenomenal. You know, the main thing is keeping your mandrel straight, because if you have a bent mandrel, you're going to have a bent rod. So you always have to, after you pull your mandrel out, you take it over to the mandrel straightener and straighten it. A lot of people don't take those little things and make sure that it gets done right. That's why you have people with bent rods, because they're not taking care of their mandrels. It's like, if you don't take care of your tools, your product's not going to come out good.
I know it's tough to be competitive because you have so much stuff coming from offshore.
Yeah.
You're a USA-made company, but you're able to do it. And what makes the Rain Shadow Blank just that more competitive, do you think?
Well, not all of our product line is made here in the United States. Unfortunately, you know, we have to outsource price point products, but it's all done under our mandrels,
under
our specifications, yeah. And we picked some of the best factories in the world. I mean, and there's a bunch of factories out there. You got to make sure you pick the right one, just like in anything, right? But yeah, it's just, it's a lot of it's price point driven. You know, people are looking to save money. And
what makes a rod blank $20 or $200 or even beyond that? What goes into that type of a blank?
It's a material and resin, scrim. You know, those things are high dollar. In the United States, it's labor, because it's very, very labor intensive. You know, so different grades of material, from an RX6, which is like a 33 million modulus graphite, up to a 51 million modulus graphite. There are price differences there.
So, well, Batson Enterprises, we talked about Alps too. Let's just touch on that. You know, one of the things you mentioned to us when we had you on the radio last time was you made the distinction between stainless steel and 316 stainless and other stainless. A lot of people just think stainless steel is stainless steel and it's going to be rust resistant.
Right.
And you've got a big smile on your face.
Yeah.
You know that isn't the case.
Yes, most definitely.
What's the story on that?
All right, so most guides were made with 304 stainless steel. It was a staple in the industry. Anybody who made a guide made it in 304. And we're always looking for a better product, right? And I was talking to somebody in the plumbing industry, saltwater plumbing industry, and he told me, Bill, have you ever looked at 316 stainless steel? I think it'd be better for your componentry. Sure enough, we went and looked at 316, and we were the first ones to come out with 316 stainless steel. And it's becoming more the norm nowadays. More companies are going to it, and it's less chance of corrosion. I mean, I put stuff under saltwater spray testing where I could take a 304 stainless steel and a 316 stainless steel, and the 304 would start to rust in 200 hours, where the 316, I got 2,000 hours with no saltwater.
No rust
on it. So things like that are a major player in regards to componentry.
And that's where maybe some of the aerospace comes in, because, in fact, they do those same things. Because even if you make it out of a material like that, you just can't machine it. Then you've got to treat it to make sure that the surface is right on it and the coating, so you get the result that you're looking for.
Most definitely. I mean, we go to other industries, and I've mentioned this before, you know, to go to the SHOT Show and look at what they're doing in the gun industry and how they're working with different materials for barrels and Cerakotes and different things like that. Those are the types of things where those kind of industries dump a lot of money into development. So we were smart enough
to learn from that.
You know, we would go to the SHOT Show and look at the new materials or the new coatings that they're using, because they've done all the research already.
Right.
And I don't have to spend that money on research. So we just start to borrow from a different industry. Same with the blanks. All of this graphite material came from the aerospace industry after World War II. I mean, it's a no-brainer to take those types of technologies and use it in other industries.
Now, is the supply of it a little easier to get? Because I know there was a time there, especially when we were involved in, you know, activities for national defense overseas and everything like that. Carbon fibers were hard to get a hold of and things like that. Is it easier to get a hold of those materials now?
Yes. There's companies like Mitsubishi and Toru and that are making these materials for a lot of different industries nowadays, and they're readily available.
And I'm sure that you find out with the way you use the material, they are biting at the bit to introduce to you new materials that their research has come to make your rods stronger, lighter, more durable, whatever it is, all the things you want to do with it. And yeah, you've got to have some interest in that.
Yeah, we do have interest in that, but you know, we're a very small industry compared to most industries.
Yeah.
You know, the fishing rod industry, yes, it's an $8 billion a year industry, but those people aren't knocking at our door, giving us this information. We have to go out and find it. It was just kind of funny, you know. It's like a coding company. They're coding whatever, buildings or planes or whatever the case might be. But we have to go knock on their door to say, hey, can I get 2 gallons of that? They don't want to sell me 2 gallons. They want to sell me, you know, 2 tons of it, you know. But it's funny.
Well, Bill, thanks for spending. There's a bunch of people waiting here to talk to you, and I just appreciate you spending the time with us and be able to give us a little insight on some of the little things that happen that make Batson Industries so special in the market, and especially yourself and your family, how special you guys are to make this all happen. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you very much, John. You have a nice day.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Ron Real Radio on AM 540 or at ronrealradio.com. We'll be back after these messages.
Thanks, John.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to 4 extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
We all like to travel, whether it's for business or it's pleasure. But one thing we all like to do, it's save money. Well, we got a travel tip for you. Bill Boyce has put together a travel website for you that can save you a lot of money. You can become your own travel agent. The site is bookwithboyce.com. You're going to save yourself 5 to 35% on all nationally advertised travel rates. You want to go to Mexico? You want to go to Hawaii? BookWithBoyce.com can offer you outstanding prices. And here's the deal. There's no surprises for accommodations, rental cars, or activities. So try BookWithBoyce.com now and thank Bill Boyce later on.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame, lighter, stronger, bone crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal or anglersarsenal.com, or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419. Or their website of CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com.
Run Real Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. That's it for tonight. I want to thank Otto and our AM 540 studios, but actually
Otto is not in the studio. He is working at home, and he is the one who ensured that we could get on the air working from remote equipment that he has at the house. Also, I want to thank our local producer, Ben Harvey, helped put together this pre-recorded show at the last moment so we could bring you a presentation tonight. And always in memory of Big Tuna Bill, Eddie McCune, and always for Paul Leader, thank you for making this show what it is. I just want to let you know that Stan, Wendy, and Hopalong, hey, we're in great shape. We are quarantined, but right now there's no sign of the virus in our households. I hope this finds to be the same situation with you all. So until next Sunday night, this is Hopalong for Rod and Reel Radio. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. We'll see you again next Sunday night.
Get away from me, boys, you bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing instead of just a wishing. Oh, yeah.